Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Punk Rock NBA Podcast.
First, I wanted to talk about a podcast from my friend Andrew that you might like called Where Are All My Friends? It is a music and business podcast that focuses on the risky yet rewarding come up of stories of people in the industry, ranging from artists, managers, A&Rs, creatives, and all things in between. It's a chance to hear firsthand stories and learn important lessons from their journeys and the most inspiring people Andrew can find. So basically, if you like the kind of conversations that I have on this show, then I think you'll like his show too. The goal is to inspire the next generation of artists, creatives, and industry to chase their passion and successfully accomplish their goals. Andrew got his start in music in 2008 by tour managing bands, then worked at record labels and management companies, and now he is full-time podcasting. Some of the guests that you may recognize or be interested in would be Alex and Neil from A Day to Remember, Misha from Periphery, Savage Gasp, Fatsy, also my friend Johnny Minardi, Kevin Lyman, Colin Britton, and me. I have been on the show. I had a super good time on there, so you should check that one out, if nothing else. What I really like about the show is just that Andrew gets into a lot of the stuff I'm really passionate about as far as like mindset and controlling your own psychology and that kind of thing. So if you like that aspect of this show, then I definitely think you should check out Where Are All My Friends. So if you want to do that, click the link in the show notes, go to whereareallmyfriends.com or search for Where Are All My Friends wherever you listen to podcasts. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. What's everybody up to?
Hi.
We just made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I led us astray. I wanted to try a new restaurant today, and that backfired, unfortunately.
I am the kind of person, I say, why in the world would you try something new when you already know that you have something that you like? Why would you do that?
Yeah, you're not one for change, I would say. So you would always go towards the consistent thing, and I tend to not like change either, but sometimes I'm kind of like curious about like cute little new restaurants and stuff like that. So there's a new restaurant that opened up down the street. So we just walked there, which was really cool. But unfortunately, it was too expensive for what it was.
Yeah, we got nachos.
Loaded nachos.
Yes. And loaded nachos. And well, you got the meatball sliders.
Yes.
And it was like, yes, risk aversion. It was like fucking with tax and tip. How much do you guys think it was? I will tell you, it was fucking $48.
Wow.
Yes.
Translation, that's fucking expensive.
$48 for two appetizers, basically, and two Diet Cokes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a brewery kind of place, and granted, we do not really drink beer, so I think we may have changed our tune if we actually had the beer and, like, came for what was intended for this place. Our bad, but like, come on now. You know what I mean? Come on now.
I'm just saying, don't try new things. Stick with what works.
I know. I had the option of going to Cold Stone earlier today, but I didn't want to waste my treat on... Well, not waste. Cold Stone is never a waste. Don't get it twisted.
No.
But I feel like I just wasn't really... On the one hand, I am craving something sweet, but on the other hand, I was just like, you know what? I want to go down the street and try something new.
Gastropub, so, exactly.
Yes, I'll have to look at Yelp, but it probably says American parentheses new.
Exactly, that's how you know the shit's going to be fucking expensive.
Yeah, that's how I know it's going to be like, maybe the inside's going to look nice, because, you know, we care a lot about ambiance.
But no to new, yes to old. Exactly.
Yes to y'old, honey. Can't you read?
See, Brianna's right.
Yes. Yeah, American parentheses new means that the interior will be nice, the food's going to be mediocre, and it's going to be expensive.
Exactly. And the waiters are going to be rude hipsters that think they're better than you.
Seriously. It's like you...
Fuck change. Exactly.
Yeah.
The old ways were best. the status quo. Defend the status quo. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm about.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Keep things the same.
Yeah. I mean, Coldstone to me will always be amazing and great. So why did I play myself is my question.
That's right. I can tell you live in the suburbs. Is that... tell me more about what you mean. Yeah, exactly.
You want to fight?
Yes, we do. You want to fight about it?
You think we live in the city?
No, we do not. And we don't want to.
I like to listen to the city girls, but I'm not a city girl myself. But I'm also not like one for living out in like the country. Because I like to be within a 5-mile radius of a Nordstrom Rack. Those are priorities.
There we go.
And I want streetlights on my street.
There we go. Now I'm in Boxcar Racer.
Now, this would be okay, just because then the thing is not going to poke me in the eye, but...
City folk just don't understand. Exactly. I'll tell you about city folk. So, many years ago, I lived in a house with like 5 other people by the University of Washington, and 3 or 4 of us knew each other from like high school and stuff. We had, like, one of us moved out, and so we had to get... a roommate, just some random person from Craigslist. And she moved in with us. Like, we didn't know her or anything. She just moved in. She was from Longview, Washington, which if you know Washington, you know, Longview is...
Is there a Longview, California? Because there's that Green Day song. Man,
yeah, probably.
They gave that city some hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Longview, Washington is very much like the girl I tweeted about today. The girl who wears Fox Racing... with pink sweatpants, bootcut pink sweatpants with like stepped on muddy cuffs from dragging, you know, and stepping on with her DC shoes, listens to Avenged Sevenfold in her dented up Pontiac Sunfire with McDonald's trash in the passenger seat. That's the kind of people you're going to find in Longview. She wasn't exactly like that, but she was kind of like that. Anyway... She went to the University of Washington also, and she came back from school one day. Her name was Talia, and she was, like, all huffy. My roommate was like, well, what's the matter, Talia? Why are you, you know, you seem like you're upset. And she's like, well, I was walking around campus, and there were all these city folk protesting and, you know, telling us we should be vegetarian. We're like, oh, that sounds terrible. How did you know? And he's like, how did you know there were city folk? She's like, well, you could just tell. Well, how can you tell someone's city folk? And she got all flustered and she said, I could just tell they'd never had their lives threatened by a wild bobcat.
Girl.
And by the way, a bobcat is like just slightly larger than this.
Get her tail.
Yeah, she likes to put her tail on us. So I don't think anybody has ever had their life threatened by a wild bobcat, because bobcats are not very threatening. But, you know, what do I know? She's from Longview. I'm from Snohomish, which is pretty rednecky, but yeah,
evidently the bobcats in Longview. If the people in Longview are the people in Longview, then the bobcats, cannot be cute.
Because they know nothing about tractors, exactly. But, you know, I feel like
Can't bait a hook.
Can't bait a hook. Yeah, do you guys... That's right. Do you guys know that, like, country song, Can't Bait a Hook? It's like some guy's talking about how some girl that he likes.
No, he's making fun of other guys.
Okay, all right.
You explain.
There's a girl that he likes, but she dissed him for some guy from the city who eats sushi and can't even bait a hook.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. He says that he can't fish, but he eats sushi.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, well, you know.
I just got that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. City folk. Oh, who needs city folk, right? Let's see if we have some questions. If you have questions for us, by the way, use the question widget at the bottom. Because we won't see it if it's in the comments. Does that imply the existence of city bobcats? There's probably... I would bet a lot of money that there are bobcats where we live, which is the suburbs, but close to the city. So... I don't know. I bet they're just good at hiding. We have coyotes here.
Yeah, I mean...
Remember when we saw a coyote in, like, Redmond or something?
Yes. I mean, I feel like... I don't know. I feel
subsidized
like,
farmers only.
Yeah, I feel
the
like...
The farm bill.
I feel like we don't really have, like, a stray cat phenomenon like some other places. I feel like you don't really see stray cats around here.
Yeah, you don't. No, you don't. It's good. Where do you get your clothes? I need new gear because I've gotten a lot bigger recently. Well, I have the opposite problem. I am very small. This shirt is from Top Threads, which is my friend Randall's company. He also owns Live Fit. It's hard for me to find stuff that fits me that's not too big because I'm 5'11 and about 165. So I'm pretty not a very large person. And it's hard for me to find stuff. This is a small. So I can't help you with that. It sounds like you just got swole. I thought there was wolves in Washington. There is wolves in Washington, but not here.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Like out. Oh, we just saw it. We were just reading this book and there were those like coastal wolves that would like eat clams and shit out of the water.
When you said this was from a book?
We just saw it, yeah. Here's a question for you. I'm so proud of you for leaving AWS. How does it feel? So this you quit your job at Amazon, what was it, a month ago now?
Yeah. April 30th was my last day and today's May 30th. Holy shit, it's been a full month. Yeah, it's been great so far. I have not thought about the old ways once. It just kind of happened. And I feel definitely a lot less of a very strong burden, if that makes any sense. There's clearly still some pressure to succeed with this YouTube stuff. It's a little bit different. But overall, I feel a lot less like impending doom of like stress. And that's been great so far. I feel like not having that experience, I would not have been able to start doing this YouTube work as quickly as I could have. So
you've been making 2 videos a week now pretty consistently.
Yeah. So I want to keep doing that and I'm still thinking of like all those little scenarios of like, you know, packing it in the back of my mind for any future job interviews, God forbid. But I think it's been going great so far. And I actually ran into a coworker of mine, like a previous coworker of mine, randomly when we went to get coffee, and that was the first time I had seen people that I used to work with. And you know, it was just kind of funny. Like, it's pretty crazy, but I do feel like not working in that kind of environment, I do feel like he's the only one I talk to nowadays, which is fine and I'm okay with that, but I definitely feel like hopefully as my channel and my community grows too, that I can start to feel like I have coworkers in such a way, you know, that it works on the internet. So it's been good.
Now you can learn all about tractors so nobody thinks you're a city folk.
I don't think people think I'm a city folk. And I think they will be scared shitless if they see me on a fucking tractor. They'll be like, oh, she's got the Rona. Gotta run away from her.
Somebody just farted. This is new. The question widget is new. Like help Turkey one. Tom over... Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Help Turkey Tom overcome his monster addiction. Turkey Tom is a very good commentary YouTuber that I talked to on Twitter. I guess he watches my videos, which is cool, because I wouldn't expect him to know who I am, but he does. I'll tell you what. I used to drink a lot of rock stars and monsters for years, and I have been off of them for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months now. Caffeine's no good. Get off of it if you can. You will be less tired if you quit caffeine, not more. The withdrawal will suck in the short term, but after you quit it, you'll be happy that you did. And man, it also gets really expensive too. Like, think about it, if you drink a couple of those a day, that's like fucking a couple $1,000 a year you're spending on fucking monsters.
And they have a lot of sugar in them too. I know you can get the sugar-free ones, but still.
That's true. How much do you like each other on God?
I love when people use the phrase.
I was going to lie until you said on God, and now I have to tell the truth.
No cap, sweetheart.
That's right.
No cap.
I have never capped in my life.
No cap.
No cap.
Ha.
Now everyone's going to make a lot of horrible, embarrassing, unfunny jokes. Here it comes.
All right, you didn't answer the question.
Watch it explode.
You didn't answer the question.
How much do you like each other on God? I don't like you. I love you.
Oh, that's nice of you, sweetheart. I say the same.
Yeah. Got any advice? See, here come the horrible hat comments. Thank you.
Sorry.
Got any advice for a small town progressive going to a big city art school? I think you'll fit in just fine because everyone else is going to be just like you. Sure. So I would say you don't have anything to worry about. But here's the thing. Let me tell you. So I went to an art school that a lot of people from all over the country go to because it was a pretty good school. It was in Cincinnati, which is not like the greatest place in the world, but University of Cincinnati was a very good school. A lot of people would move there from all over the country, and lots of them were from like Midwest and stuff too. I thought it was really funny, kind of cute, but also kind of cringy how like, no, I don't like Five Iron Frenzy. People always, this hat is a brand called Undefeated. I don't like Five Iron Frenzy. I do not listen to Christian Scott.
You should wear the hat that says Undefeated on it.
I should. Anyway, so I went to this art school and there was all these kids that started there. And so after your second year, you start doing internships and they would, you know, we had a good program. So people would go to like New York and San Francisco and stuff for internships. I was a little bit older than everyone. I was 25 when I started. They were all, you know, they would come into these like fresh faced, you know, 18-year-old Midwest kids, you know, all bright eyed and bushy tailed and sweet and innocent and stuff. And then go off to their first internship in New York and like come back transformed into a fucking hipster. And it was hilarious and act like they were never the G-rated, you know, Christian kid from Kentucky that we all remembered that they were 6 months ago. But nobody would call each other out on their bullshit because if I call you out, then you're going to call me out. So we all just pretended that we were all hipsters forever. Well, you went to a nutty school.
I went to the Evergreen State College. And if you don't know what the Evergreen State College is, then just Google it and you'll find a plethora of articles written about this school. It's probably one of the most like hippie-ish like schools you can think of, like no grades, no majors, no like all like self-evaluation, credit system, you know, kind of a thing, like totally the most like hippie thing you could possibly think of. And yeah, that was some real shit, you know.
But people didn't move to go to
Evergreen. Okay. Absolutely. I feel like there definitely is that kind of culture in the school is in Olympia, Washington, which if you're familiar with the grunge phenomenon, while that was kind of the Seattle area, that was kind of a thing in Olympia too. Like if you thought Seattle was like the epicenter for the grunge stuff, that was like the polished up version of grunge. Olympia's were like grunge and like fucking crust punks are, you know, it's like
Riot Girl indie stuff.
Yeah, it's like a mini Portland. But anyway, people absolutely moved to go to Evergreen. I want to say that I have not looked at the statistics and I'm not super familiar, but I want to say that actually quite a decent amount of their tuition and their student base is actually out of state.
Imagine paying fucking out of state tuition to go to Evergreen.
Yeah, but at least because Evergreen is such a cheap school on a overall basis, I bet even paying out of state tuition is not that bad. You get a horrible education, so that'd be a waste of money.
If there's any engineers watching, you'll get this. I read this question here. Have you heard of / like the genre cloud punk? And I was excited because somebody was asking about Cloudflare. And I was going to talk about how great Cloudflare is because I moved the DNS for all my sites over to that. And it works so better than GoDaddy, which is terrible. And if you do any kind of DNS, you should use Cloudflare, not GoDaddy. But you're asking about cloud punk, not Cloudflare. It is what
certainly not punk about cloud infrastructure software companies.
Huh? That's right. I guess it's
EC2 or S3 or some shit, right?
Yeah, it's what is it like? Cached? I don't know what the fuck. I'm not going to do a good job of doing their elevator pitch.
Wait, no. But what is cloud punk though? Like for real?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh shit.
I only know Cloudflare.
They make up genres every day.
And then AWS's version is CloudFront.
That's right. Which sounds like a hardcore band.
Yeah, it does.
Or like a skinhead band, but, you know, they're chilling.
Relationships are hard. How do you guys do it? What do you think?
Well, they don't have to be hard. You know, I mean, well, yes. I mean, I don't want to be that person. But it's like, they're only hard if you're not with the right person. And if you're not with the right person, then you know what to do. Don't ever settle. It is much easier than you think to, well, it's hard to leave a situation that you're comfortable with, but it's not worth it to be comfortable if it's hard, if that makes any sense. So yes, relationships are hard. They are, you know, work and they require compromise sometimes. But, you know, I think if the hard stuff is like, you know, the minority of cases or, you know in your heart when something is worth it and when something is real or not. I think if a lot of people, they just stay in a relationship just because they want the security, then that's just not worth it. So how do we do it? I think we found the right, you know, people for each other where it doesn't have to be hard. And whenever it does get hard, then we communicate and we don't let things fester and we don't let things, you know, linger on.
I will say this. We've been together for 8.5 years now, and we have never raised our voices at each other, ever.
No, I don't think we're that kind of people, but at the same time, it's so easy to give yourself the excuse, like, oh, well, I feel so strongly about XYZ. There's never an excuse to treat someone that you supposedly care about like that.
I think we're both good at de-escalating conflict. Like, if one of us is upset about something, or if we're, I don't want to say fighting, because we don't fight, but, you know, mm-hmm. if there's some issue, we don't make it worse. I think we're both good at stepping back and doing and saying whatever we need to do to kind of bring things down.
Yeah. I think...
Because I don't care about being right. I just want to get along and be happy.
Yeah. I think what we tend to do is, like, hold it in, kind of. Like, if we... Like, we'd rather sacrifice our own emotions, I think, sometimes, for the sake of peace than, you know, confront each other about it. At least sometimes that's how I feel. And the communication part is, I think, what really comes into play there. And being honest about it is more important. And because we don't let those things, you know, linger, and even though it may be scary to confront each other or to actually express how you truly feel about something, those compressed and repressed emotions will lead to the shouting matches and will lead to the, you know, the hard parts of the relationship. So we address it, we move forward, and we move on like it's a new day.
Well said.
Thank you, sweetheart.
In an alternative reality, if you're not into being a YouTuber talking about alternative and hardcore culture, what other thing do you think you would do? Well, I said this before, but I would probably, if I was to do it over again, I'd probably get a degree in computer science, because that's the sort of thing I'm interested in. So I would probably be a software engineer or, you know, product manager or something along. I mean, I kind of am a product manager now at my, you know, my real jobs. But yeah, I'd probably be an engineer, I think. What would you do if you were going to do it all over again?
I'd probably say the same, which is stupid. I never thought a lot about my future, ever. and I kind of wish I did, because when I was at AWS, like, not in a technical role and in an administrative role, a lot of times I would look at people who were the same age as I am and, you know, were much more educated and had better jobs and had more esteemed jobs or more, like, you know, lucrative or sexy kind of jobs. And I'm like, well, shit, like, I know I could be like this if I just studied the right things. Like, I think I do have a somewhat engineer-like mind, or, like, systematic kind of mind and detail-oriented kind of mind. I just don't do that kind of work. And had in an alternate reality, I could have studied the right things to be set up for the SDE or, you know, FEE or, you know, QA, I don't know, like, kind of a role. It's just not reality, man.
That ship has sailed. We're fucking losers.
And, you know, yeah. And, you know,
just make YouTube videos.
And, you know, although it's easy to say, oh, you know, those people make good money and, you know, it's a attractive industry or whatever. I still don't know that I would necessarily want to do it anyway, just because the engineer shit is a grind.
Have you made Finn watch Naruto yet? Or I like to say Naruto. Mm-hmm. And does he love it? Are we Naruto fam?
Well,
you know the answer to this.
Well,
let's set the fucking record straight.
Why don't you do it then?
I watched Naruto in 2005 or 6. I watched it fan subs on my PSP. I torrented the fan subs and watched them on my PSP.
See, he's a real weeaboo here.
Yes, that's how much of a cool person I was in 2005 or 6.
Very cool.
But I got into, like, the beginning of Shippuden, and then I think I just stopped watching it.
Yeah, you like to claim that you were the first, and you like to watch the fan translations on your PSP, but you chickened out, and you're being a little fucking pussy. Mm-hmm. He could not commit to finishing the series, and that is how you know that I'm a real Naruto fan, and he's not.
But I did finish it years later.
after I gave you all of the fucking tea.
All the lore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you didn't have the stamina.
Yeah, because there's too many goddamn flashbacks.
They are necessary, I tell you.
Too many flashbacks.
No, they're necessary. Also, you watch filler. And so that...
Oh, like, I didn't know it was filler because I didn't look up a filler list.
But if you were a true Naruto fan, you would know exactly what is a filler and what's not. Honey!
All right, let's see. What's next here? By the way, if you guys have questions, use the questions widget or else we won't see them. I am looking here.
What would you say about?
What's that? Which
this one?
Oh. Would you guys visit Puerto Rico? Cheers from PR. Sure, why not? I've heard about a lot of people, like, I guess Jake Paul lives there now. Lots of people.
That's right,
no? Yeah, well, people are moving there because taxes. Because they don't have, I guess they don't pay, like, federal income tax, I guess. You tell me. But apparently there's, you know, tax advantages and, you know, the big cities seem nice. So I think you can go live large there and save yourself a lot of money on taxes. So, yeah, I would totally visit there. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know much about Puerto Rico as a country itself, as opposed to, like, I feel like, you know, I know Puerto Rican people.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's definitely different than knowing, like, the country. So... maybe if you have some suggestions on what we would do or what we would like to do or, you know, what's kind of cool to do in Puerto Rico, then, hey, who knows, right?
Yeah, maybe we should watch an episode of Island Life. There's the HGTV show Island Life where people move to islands. And
do we have any Puerto Rico episodes?
Probably. We should look. Oh. Or the Caribbean Life. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. I guess Puerto Rico is in the Caribbean, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be cool. We can be on that TV show.
Does Finn say, I love what I do, so I've never worked a single day in my life? No, that's bullshit. I think this is a big misconception that people have about being a creator or an entrepreneur, is that, you know, you're going to love every minute of every day. That's not true. It's going to be a fucking grind, too, just like any other job. Sometimes, not always. I'm not complaining or saying they don't like it, but... I mean, you do anything full time and there's going to be parts of it that you don't really like and it's like a grind and you just got to get through it anyway. And I think a lot of times, like when I hear YouTubers or other people talk about like how stressed they are or whatever, it just kind of makes me feel like they've never had a real job or something because they don't understand this, that like work is work and it's not always going to be fun. Now that you've been doing this for a month full time, what do you think?
I would say while the content itself seems interesting and fun, and while I'd rather do that kind of work than, you know, stuff for AWS, no offense, but you have to have even more motivation actually to get whatever you need done.
Because nobody's going to tell you what to do.
Exactly, because no one, like, you don't have a deliverable to a boss. Like, your boss isn't, like, sending you emails like, hey, do this, or, you know, some other kind of rhythm of business calendar thing that would drive you to do something, right? So you have to find the motivation to do anything yourself. And when you have a flexible schedule, it's tempting to be like, oh, you know, well, I have all of, you know, this other stuff to do. Let me push it to, you know, the 11th hour to get this done or to, you know, squeeze it in or, you know, do whatever. Like when it's flexible, it's actually, when you have a flexible schedule, it's actually harder to find the motivation, I think. So,
please advise status. That means hurry the fuck up.
Yeah. So, you know, while I do enjoy, you know, the experiment of content creation at this stage, I try to still not get, you know, lost in the sauce as far as like, oh, I get to make videos about, you know, how much of a hoe Bill Gates is, which is always fun, but it still took, you know, an idea and time and effort to get that actual thing, you know, off to the races.
Sometimes so. It's going to be a grind. That's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
Not a question. Just sending all the love your guys' way. Both of your channels are great. Keep crushing it. Thank you.
Thank you. Here, do the thing.
It was like we're...
Yay!
Like a MySpace profile picture. Only a little bit. I took Spanish for 4 years in high school and college, and I am very, very, very rusty, but I was okay at it. I was pretty good at it when I was actually in practice, but... I'm not anymore.
I know taco and burrito.
Now you sound like the people who make racist jokes about your language.
Yeah. No, I don't know any Spanish. I know very, like, very basic words, but that's it.
Does Final Fantasy VII deserve to be the most famous of the Final Fantasy games?
No.
No, sure doesn't.
I said that real quick.
No, you're right. Final Fantasy VII is very overrated. I mean, I get that people have emotional attachment to it because probably a lot of people, that was like their first JRPG. And, you know, if you were 12 when you played it, you know, in back in the day, it was probably amazing, but it's not great. I mean, not the original. The remake is pretty awesome, though, right? You finished the first chapter or whatever it is.
Yes. The remake is really good. I do enjoy it. And that was my first experience with playing the game because I'm not old. But I liked the game, the first chapter. But maybe this is my emotional attachment to Final Fantasy X. But that is the best game, in my opinion.
10-2. Caliber TV knows the score. This is my controversial hot take. 10-2 is my favorite.
I do like 10-2 as well, but
because it's silly and weird, and you know.
But it gets serious like really, really, really quickly.
It's true.
I remember. I bought the remaster for the PS4, and I did try replaying.
This guy's thirsty for 10, Riku.
Mm-hmm. I replayed the 10-2, and I think once you get past, like, the fun stuff, it's, like, confronting you with, like, a lot of really heavy shit, and you're like, oh, okay.
I just like the dress spheres.
Those are fun.
Let's see, what else do we have? Are you going to compete in jiu-jitsu anytime? Yeah, whenever. I don't pay attention to what all the tournaments and stuff are. I just have, my training partners tell me what's coming up. So whenever they have something that they think I should do, I will do it. And I don't know, that'll probably be in a couple months or something, I would guess. But I don't know. We just had the first tournament in the Northwest. It was in Idaho like a couple weeks ago, but it got canceled. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on. Let's talk about art school some more. I like talking about art school. Do you think that a fine art education is as useless as people say? Well, here's the thing with a fine art degree. It's not going to get you a job per se, because nobody is going to list like a BFA as a requirement for a job exactly. Mm-hmm. But it will give you 4 years to get better at what you do. The question to me is, so I don't think it's worthless at all. I think it's worth a lot. And I went to art school for 2 years, 3 years before I transferred to business. So it took me 5 years to finish. But so I think you'll learn a lot there. But I would not pay like $50,000 or $100,000 for that degree. I think it'd be better for you to just be poor for 4 years, like work the absolute minimum amount of hours you can at Starbucks or something to pay the bills and be poor. And spend every free moment honing your craft and be poor, I think you would get equally good, but come out of it with a lot less debt, I think. The other thing you need to do is build a network, because you got to have two things to be successful. You have to have good work, and you have to know people and have a good network. So make sure you do both of those things. Art school can help a lot with the second one. If you have like a good alumni network or job placement, or if you have like an internship program, that can help a lot. But if you think spending $90,000 on an art school degree is going to get you a great job as an artist, especially fine art, that is not true. So I would I am a believer in education, but a lot of those art schools are crazy expensive, which is nuts. It's like fucking $90,000 for an art degree. I don't think so. What do you think?
I mean, I can't speak to this much because I did not pursue like an artistic kind of education, but I mean, what you say sounds right. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit ignorant in this case, but I don't know what kinds of jobs you would get as like an artist other than like a graphic designer.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that like really the only job that you could get with like an art school degree? Like you don't apply pretty much to fine be a job arts, for, like,
yeah,
a painter,
right. Yeah,
do you?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You just paint and you sell your shit, right?
Exactly. So,
It sounds like if you want to be a graphic designer, I'm not sure so sure that you really need a fine art degree. Sounds like you said, a great work portfolio and in your network. makes
sense.
Don't
pay 90 grand for it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, again, I think if you're going to be a graphic designer, then you might as well just get your regular old Bachelor of Arts and something else. And then, you know.
In graphic design.
In graphic design, yeah. And then build up your portfolio.
Yeah.
What I can understand.
Here's a good one. What are your thoughts on the Fast and Furious movies?
I knew you were going to zoom to me.
Because you love these movies.
I wouldn't say that I love them, though. They're not my favorite of the, like, bad movies, you know? Well, I wouldn't
say... You like XXX more, and I consider XXX a part of the same...
They're different movies. Yeah.
Part of the Vin Diesel cinematic universe.
Wait, is Vin Diesel in the Fast and Furious movies?
Yes.
Oh, wait, yes, he is. That's right. Oh, my God. Why am I... Oh, I was getting confused with The Rock, who is also in those movies. Oh, they had beef.
Right.
And I imagine that The Rock is the one that started it, because while The Rock seems like a nice guy, nice enough guy, Vin Diesel seems like the most harmless person in the planet, so...
Raise your hand if you're a fan of the Vin Diesel cinematic universe.
Yes, I am. I am.
What about the novels? The...
What?
Oh, I was just... Joey likes... You know, in Star Wars, there's the whole extended universe with all the novels and stuff. They should have Vin Diesel cinematic universe novels.
I think his Facebook page is like kind of that version, which iconic. But I think, you know, Fast and Furious movies kind of fits that like shallow storyline, but enough to keep you kind of motivated to keep going through. And then, you know, cars go vroom vroom and explosions go boom boom. Like, I mean, I feel like... So, you know, we actually watched that new Jason Statham movie.
That's right.
Yesterday, Wrath of Man.
Yeah. Right?
Which was not good. I did not like that movie. You know, those movies, it wasn't a Christopher Nolan movie, but it had that kind of like, I'm skipping around.
This guy Ritchie.
Yeah, okay. I don't know who he is, but like, you know, they skip around times and they, you know, it's just too much. Like, I am such a straightforward person. If, when it comes to movies, just play it out for me. No frills, no nothing.
Except for Naruto, where you're all about the time skips.
I said movies, but, and I'm going to poke your eyes out right now. And for movies, no movies ever need to be 2 hours long. And if you're going to make this movie 2 hours long, then don't skip around and make me confused.
Woman in the Window. We'll look for that.
Woman in the Window. That sounds scary.
I trust his taste.
Okay. But not good. That's all to say that the Fast and Furious movies, while there is some lore, and I'm not familiar with the lore, I just know that one of the characters is dead and everyone is like, no. And
Han,
that's right. Yeah. And I don't even really watch the movies.
But he comes back.
Oh, like Edo Tensei.
Yeah, because he's from the director's original movie, Better Luck Tomorrow, in like 2001. See, this I'm not joking. There is a Vin Diesel cinematic universe. I'm not joking. It's real.
He seems like a very smart man who is good at movies.
There's three different series tied together here, and there is lore.
Is there a Wikipedia page about this that I can read about?
Wikia.fandoms.com.
Yeah, but for Vin Diesel.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
All
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
Any advice for dealing with a roommate that seems to be using the pandemic lockdown as a pretext to stagnate, milk being unemployed? Is it not my business if they keep up with the rent? Here's my take on this. Do not make this person's problems into your problems. Because if what you say is true about this person, which it probably is, there's definitely people doing that kind of stuff, what are you going to do? You know, it's not your job to save this person, or you're not going to change their work ethic, or you know what I mean? All you're going to do is stress yourself out, piss yourself off, probably make this person even angrier for what? As long as they're paying the rent, I'd say stay out of it and try to find a new roommate. Like, just, it's not your, you know, the only thing that will come out of this is you getting more frustrated, is my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like on a general stance, yes. Like, as long as this person is keeping up with their end of the rent, not really your business. However, if they do start to dabble in something illegal, if they're, you know, doing some illegal means to keep, you know, milking the unemployment process, or, you know, selling drugs, or doing just something like, you know, shady on the side, that's obviously not cool, and grounds to kick that person out for sure. But as long as they're doing something legal and they're just maybe doing something that maybe you don't agree with morally, or, you know, just kind of like, what are you doing? Not your business. I would say
get this person out of your life as soon as it's convenient.
Right. Exactly. And if they, you know, are shitty roommates, then maybe you can kind of use that as the opportunity to kick them out, I guess. But if they're just chilling and just kind of being weird about stuff like that,
Advice for taking criticism as a creative. Being able to jettison losers from your life is a crucial skill. Yes, it is. And do it gracefully. Don't let them know that you did it. It's like the silent kill, you know, like in the movies when they sneak up, you know, when they're like storming into the bad guy's compound or whatever, and they just sneak up from behind and like snap their neck. That's how you do it. Like Lil Wayne says, real G's move in silence like lasagna.
That's my favorite line.
Yeah. So don't make it a big deal. Don't tell this person you're a loser and I'm cutting you out of my life, because then it'll make it dramatic and weird. Just silently kill them, figuratively speaking. Silently eliminate them from your life and move on. And then by the time they realize what's happened, you know, they're in the rearview mirror. Anyway. Advice for taking criticism as a creative. What?
Oh, I thought you were addressing this question.
No. Advice for taking criticism as a creative, differentiating constructive criticism versus someone being a troll. Well, as somebody who gets hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of critical comments per day that fall into both of these categories.
He does a lot for you guys.
Yes, I do. Am I asking for a medal for falling on this sword on behalf of all of you? I'm not asking for it, but if you want to give me one, I'll take it. I will accept your medal. Here's the thing. Someone
can be a troll but still right. There have been things that people said, you know, just where they were trying to piss me off or hurt my feelings or get a reaction out of me, where they were trolling, but they were also right. And I think the real ninja move is to be able to recognize those situations where the haters are right. And you don't want to admit that it's true, but that's oftentimes when you will learn the most. I just did an interview with Maude Sun, and he said it very well. You will always learn more from a criticism than a compliment. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to everybody, even the trolls. They might be right, and they might not be right, but they might be. So listen to everybody and take it seriously, even if it pisses you off and even if you don't want to hear it. I think you should take all criticism seriously. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I'd say that if someone is being constructive, I would say that that's not trolling.
Right.
And I think it's important to, like, when you read something that you start to find yourself not agreeing with or, like, kind of taking in a negative way, like, that you step back and you really evaluate and, like, actually physically, like, take a deep breath. Like, am I getting really riled up over something that I'm personally taking as an attack, or is this actually someone trying to understand, like, the intent? Like, if you kind of read it out loud, or if, like, you think, like, how would I say this in my head? Like, because I have kind of encountered some things kind of like that, too, where it's like, okay, this person is giving some criticism, and while maybe I don't agree with it, or maybe it kind of starting to rile me up, I have to, like, take a deep breath and be like, is this a personal attack on me? No. Sometimes it is, sometimes, and those are easy to kind of dismiss. So I would say just be, it's easy to let yourself take things really personally when they really aren't. And so I think just, I would just add that. Not everything is a troll, and not everything is criticism. Just train yourself into thinking that not everything is personal.
Don't believe the people who give you compliments, too. Don't believe everything they say, either. Don't believe the haters or the fanboys.
Well, I like to believe the compliments, but that's just me.
Were you ever into professional wrestling? Yes, I was when I was, like, six. and then my dad was like, you know that stuff's fake, right? And I was like, what? No.
Nani?
And then even at six, I was like, wait a minute. They just punched and kicked each other in the face for like 10 minutes and they didn't even get a bloody nose. Fuck. It is fake. And that was the end of my interest
You're
in professional.
You're supposed to go like pro wrestling style.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to punch
you. Like, and then you slap your chest when you punch me in the face.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But I do like Hogan Knows Best. We got to watch that.
Yeah, we watched his Cribs episode recently.
Question about anxiety here. You did not use the... If you have a question, use the question widget but to make sure I see it, but I want to make sure to answer this one. I'm pretty sure I'm dealing with anxiety, and I'm currently on Zoloft. How has your anxiety been lately? My anxiety is way better since I got off of caffeine. I know this sounds really obvious, but, I mean, you can attest to that, like... Mm-hmm. 6 months ago, it was way, 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 way worse. I have like almost zero anxiety now.
Yeah.
Get off caffeine. That is my first suggestion. It's going to suck for a couple days probably, but get off caffeine. It makes anxiety way fucking worse.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in an MLM scheme? No, I haven't. But we go to Barnes & Noble almost every Friday. And one of my favorite things is what?
MLM schemes?
At Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When a scammer is courting their prey.
Right. When you see some kind of weird 35-year-old guy like sitting at a table with some wide-eyed like 22-year-old kid who's like, you know, it's like, so.
They kind of look like they're being like held hostage. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. And so, would you ever be interested in owning your own business? Because you know, I've been financially independent for several years now. And
the kicker, too, is that we go to Barnes & Noble at like 7 p.m.
On a Friday.
Fridays. So that is absolutely not an appropriate time for
You're pitching
business,
anybody on
for
anything.
For a business deal ever. Yeah, exactly. So that tells you something about these MLM scammers.
It's either that or the other thing that I think is funny to see is these like Christian men's Bible study groups,
mm-hmm.
which I'm convinced that these guys are gay, and it's just
the cover.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they won't admit it to either themselves or their families or whatever, that this is like, oh, no, no, no. I'm just all those like cute guys my age. We're just going to go read the Bible, Mom. There's nothing to see here. Which, yeah. You know, I mean, that's fine. I just feel bad for, if that's the case, I just feel bad for them that they, you know, feel like they have to hide it.
Yeah. I almost was in a MLM scheme.
Oh, really?
Or not almost. I mean, that's a little bit of a lie. So, an exaggeration. So, I did a job interview with like a marketing firm.
Oh, that's right.
That I just didn't, it just, I got.
It wasn't clear.
Yeah, I got kind of far down the, like, I had, it was just a kind of an overall weird process. And, at the end of it, I ended up turning it down, and then I did another interview for a marketing firm because I was trying to find like an actual marketing like agency kind of a job, and when, you know, completely different company, you know, well, seemingly different, and I walk in and it's the same lady that interviewed me for the previous job that I was like really awkward at and like turned down because I thought it might have been like some kind of a scam, and I was like, holy fuck, it is the same goddamn woman. I was like, and she was like, and I was like, I need to get out of here.
Bum, bum.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh my fucking God, this is so awkward. I want to die right now. So I think the same thing happened with that one too, which is that they offered me the job and I was like,
nope.
And then I got my job at Amazon, which, whew, thank the Lord, different kind of scam. But man, that was awkward as fuck.
Two questions here. One person said, opinion on SARMs. My opinion is, do not put that shit in your body. Because you don't even know what you're taking. It's selective androgen receptor molecules. It's basically like designer steroids, essentially.
Oh.
Do not take that shit because you don't know what you're actually taking. Go look this up. People have done reports on this. They've analyzed all these different black market SARMs. You don't, they're all over the place as far as like purity and what's actually in them and stuff. Don't take that shit because you don't even know what it is, let alone what the side effects of all this stuff are.
That name sounds like really scary.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds like harm.
Yeah, don't take that shit. It's dangerous and stupid, and you'll fuck up your hormones. Anybody that says that stuff is not suppressive is full of shit.
Mm.
Every drug has side effects. If it works, it has. Here's a rule with any kind of supplement regarding like athletic supplements. If it works, it's not legal. If it's legal, it doesn't work. And if it works, it has side effects. So I would say don't take any of that shit. Anyway, question here. Finn, knowing a ton about bands and styles, have you ever tried to become a musician? Do you play any instrument? What kind of music would you like to do? If so, I get this question a lot. I have played guitar forever, since like 1999 or 1989. I don't really play anymore, but I played for a very long time. I can play drums okay. I can mix and master and all that stuff. I'm not a very good engineer, but I can get the job done. And I have been part of companies that teach music production for the past 8 years. So I actually do know quite a bit about how to make music. We work with all the best like rock and metal producers in the world, pretty much, on Nail the Mix. If you're familiar with that, we've had, you know, artists like, we've had Fall Out Boy, Bring Me the Horizon, Meshuggah, Periphery, Gojira, Opeth, Architects, I mean, and their producers. We've had everybody on there. So I know a lot about making music, much more than I ever intended to know. But I don't really want, it's just, I don't have any desire to make music anymore just because it's time consuming. It's cool. I'd rather help other people make their music than do it myself at this point in my life. But if I was half my age, I'd probably be an emo rapper, of course.
Of course. What would you get here? Blessed? Or, you know, what do they get? Too tired or like...
I can't read any of them. I would probably get risk averse.
Ironic.
Yeah. So what would your face tattoo be?
Pretty.
No.
Yes! Gotta fake it till you make it.
Pretty bitch.
Yep. Pretty on my right side, bitch on the
yeah,
left side.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
Right on.
That's what we're talking
eyebrows.
About. And then you can do a song with light-skinned Keisha.
Yes, bitch.
Let's see. Are you looking forward to a new Avenged Sevenfold album with punk legend Brooks Wackerman on drums? I look forward
Girl,
to...
Girl, where have you been?
Yeah, he's been in the band for like...
They do have an album with Brooks Wackerman on drums.
And he's been in the band for like 6 years or something now, right?
Time has passed by way too quickly.
It's been about that long, right? Since
I mean,
Aaron
I can't
left?
Remember. Yeah, I can't remember the exact timeline. But
Five, 6 years, something like that.
He's been in the band for a while.
I'm interested in anything. I tell you what, I would just watch Brooks Wackerman play drums. I don't even need him to be in a band. He's that good.
I would like to see an Avenged Sevenfold album that is more punk-oriented because they do have him. And Zachy has always been more on the punk side, and they're from, you know, Huntington Beach, you know, so I'd like to hear, they do have those elements in their music, I think, just naturally, but I'd want to see a more more thematic thing. But however, their album that does have Brooks Wackerman on it, The Stage, is actually one of the most progressive albums that they have ever done.
Bring Fedora Metal Fedora Metal back. That's what we need more of. Fedora Metal. Remember the event?
Tell Johnny to tell Sinister Gates to put that shit back
That's
on.
That's right.
He's got good hair now, so... Well, he's always had good hair, but...
I know you hate it when I bring this up, but remember the Deathbat Fedora era of Avenged Sevenfold?
It's not Deathbat Fedora, it's just regular fedoras. The fuck are you talking about?
The pinstripe fedora era of Avenged Sevenfold. You know, mistakes were made.
Yeah, but they looked cool still.
And... I guarantee you, if you ask them, they'd be like, no, I don't think that's corny. That was cool. I don't give a fuck.
Because the crazy thing is that they were like 25 when they were doing that.
It's true.
Isn't that wild? Could you ever imagine a 25-year-old doing that?
Here is a good question. A few questions here, but same person. Why in the year 2021 do you guys think that the topic of mental health is still so damn taboo? Are we making any headway in the battle against the stigma of mental health? Love you guys. I would say, yes, we have made a lot of progress there. Because, I remember like when I was a kid, anybody that took antidepressants or any kind of psychiatric medication was crazy. You know, that's how they were seen back then. Like, oh, she takes antidepressants. Ooh, geez, she's crazy. That was like a big deal then, and now it's not at all, or maybe it is a little bit, but not like it used to be. So I think we've made ligma or sugma.
I don't get that joke.
And bofa.
I don't get that joke. What?
And bofa.
Oh, is that like one of those things?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I'm
so
stupid.
Yeah. So I think we've made a lot of progress, but, you know... My family would probably be a little bit more open about those things than yours would, I would guess. So
yes and no.
What do you think?
Based on my observation of just things overall, I feel like you said, there is some progress I think made, just because you see so many more news outlets and like media, and just with social media happening, we hear about it more. But I think it's almost gone to the opposite extreme, mm-hmm. where people romanticize and maybe are a little bit too fragile, to be blunt. Like, oh, I need to take a mental health day.
Right,
And I have to take those days too. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, you need to toughen up and blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily think that, because there is a... I don't know. I feel like there has to be balance.
Tell your dad he can take bofa. Sorry, said my dad caps on me for taking anxiety medications. Shit is whack.
Yeah.
So you can tell your dad to take bofa.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, it's all about balance, right? If before it was like, oh, you're crazy for taking, you know, antidepressants, that's not right. But it's also not right to be like, oh, I need to be sheltered at all times and have my feelings be considered in every single situation.
Because just not reality.
Right. Because I'm sensitive. Or and not to say that you're sensitive, but that you have mental health. Well, it's okay. First of all, if you're sensitive about things, that doesn't mean you have mental health issues.
Right.
And that diminishes the people who do have truly mental health issues. And that doesn't actually help the cause. It's about the balance of understanding when people actually experience these things and being graceful about it, as opposed to telling them to harden up or cave into their emotions too much. The world just doesn't revolve around you. And, you know, if you have to take medications to get right, take your medications. And if you want to tough it out, tough it out. Like,
but it's your responsibility to deal with it either way.
Right. And it's important to communicate those things too, right? Like, I have, fortunately, at least my previous boss, her and I were friends, and we both experience, you know, I don't personally have anything diagnosed myself, but I mean, you know, we all have bad days sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, sorry, like I'm like, you know, yes, I'll do this, but hey, you know, I'm having a pretty bad day today. Like we're very transparent about this stuff. Or, you know, you and I, like we're both at work, we're having a bad day or whatever. It's all about open communication and just understanding balance and just not like, just acknowledging that the world doesn't revolve around us. We can have our moment. Let's have our moment. Move on.
Yeah, I'll have a boomer moment here. But I will say, I think that's a really good point. And like, it's definitely good that we are more understanding of, you know, people with mental health issues and stuff. But the sort
to
of
just say like, oh, just go cry in your corner all day. And the flip side, that's not the right solution either.
The flip side of that is that now there's like, we give people a fucking pat on the back for adulting.
Right. Participation.
Like, what is the fucking book we saw at Barnes & Noble the other day where it's like a bunch of stickers that you give yourself for adulting? Oh, right. Adulting?
Yeah. It was like, stickers for adulting.
I answered the phone today.
Oh, it was.
Look, if you have such debilitating anxiety or depression where actually answering the phone is difficult for you, I totally get that.
Right,
some people
fine,
do. But for everyone else who just doesn't want to do it, like, fucking just grow up.
Right.
You know, it's like you don't get a fucking medal for doing basic grown-up shit, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you ever train at Electric North Jiu-Jitsu in Lake Stevens with Professor Anderson? No, but I have trained at North Shore Jiu-Jitsu in Lake Stevens a few times with Jimmy Dolan.
Crazy specific.
Yeah, so I have trained in Lake Stevens, but not there. Jairus Johnson is making 2000s Red State Rock Festival fashion cool again. This is not a question, but I'm on board with it. You're right, he is.
Factual statement.
He did a live stream from Affliction headquarters the other day. Like a live stream show.
Legendary.
Exactly. He said he was going to do it, and he did. When I did a podcast with him like a couple months ago before he really kind of, you know, blew up the way he has now, I was like, dude, I was texting him before, and I was like, dude, you got to bring Affliction and Smet and stuff back. And he was like, dude, I literally just spent like $500 on Affliction gear.
Only 500?
So it's like three shirts or something.
That shit is expensive.
That's when I knew that that's when I said, this is the guy that I want to bet on.
Hustle is real.
Exactly. He's got that Red State Rock Festival drip. What does your investment portfolio look like? Well, I don't do anything fancy. I invest in index funds and ETFs because...
what's an ETF again?
An ETF is an exchange-traded fund, so... For example, there's one called the Vanguard Information Technology Fund that's like basically their tech fund. So rather than investing, so the way that these things work is you can invest in individual companies if you want, which is okay. But the problem is that's risky because maybe this company will have a really bad quarter or the CEO will have a heart attack and drop dead. And all of a sudden the value of investment goes down 30% overnight for reasons that nobody could have projected. So what people have done instead is create funds that will include multiple companies that are kind of along the same industry or, you know, whatever, somehow thematically the same. So like that Vanguard tech ETF, for example, is a way that you can invest in like, I don't know how many, they have like 200 tech companies or something like that under the same fund. And so every dollar you put in there gets divided up among all those companies. And so that way, if any one of them, you know, does badly, it doesn't really affect your investment overall. So I mostly invest in those and index funds, which are similar to ETFs, because I am risk averse. I'm not trying to get rich overnight. There's people who will tell you that they got rich off Doge or whatever, you know, AMC or whatever their cool stock, and good for them. But there's 1,000 other people who didn't get rich off of that, who lost all their money, and you're never going to hear from them. So personally, this is not financial advice, but personally, I don't, you know, I think that's more like gambling. I think better to play it safe, put your money in index funds and ETFs and just don't touch it for years. That's how I think about it. You know, but you do what you want to do. Would you be down to host a VH1 reality show, Rock a Love Style? I was fucking born for that, baby.
You'll be, what's the guy that does the reunion?
Ricky Rackman.
That's right.
Yes. I was fucking put on this earth.
Or are you going to be like the... Wait, is this supposed to mean that you're... Wait, are you trying to say that you want to be the...
No.
Prize host. Possession?
Host.
But they don't really have a host.
Well, they need one. Just like The Bachelor has a host. This is... And we have to have like Real Housewives of Warped Tour.
Well, I mean, I feel like with the Of Love series, they have The Bachelor. They have The Bachelorettes. And they usually have like a companion. Like,
yes.
It's typically their bodyguard or something. But like... The host just does the reunion, and that's, like, the boring part. I mean the reunions are okay, but it's,
see,
like...
See, look, this is what they're saying. Host like Ricky.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
I would never be the prize on a show, for one, because I would not be a very good prize, so nobody would want to be on the show.
Well, you're a great prize, just not for all these other bitches.
Yeah, but I would love to... Yeah, exactly. Like, Scene Bachelor or Real Housewives of Warped Tour, I'm there. I was fucking born for this. I'm ready. Just fax me the contract. It's got to be a fax because we're going to do this authentic. You know how like when they do...
2006 style?
Exactly. You'll hear about like how they do Mad Men and like, oh, everything on the set has to be from the 60s. You know, even if the audience doesn't know, like we pay slavish attention to every detail because we believe that, you know, that's the only way the actors will be truly authentic. So that's what I'm going to do. You got to fax me. You can hit me up on my Sidekick. Everything emo rap of love, exactly. Everything involving this show has to be authentic mid-2000s technology and vintage everything for maximum authenticity.
Vintage?
Yes.
Are you trying to tell me that 2006 is vintage?
Yeah, I mean, your brand new PlayStation 3 that just came out.
Which means that I'm still playing my PS2 because I don't buy those consoles on launch day.
Exactly. See, buying a console in like the first year or so, I'm sorry to all of you who bought a PS5, but you played yourselves.
We were just having this discussion.
Exactly. Mm-mm. There are no good games for the first like year or two of a console. So all you're going to do is pay top dollar for this piece of shit that has like... Remember the PS2 launch games like fucking Luminous and... Fucking The Bouncer.
What?
It's a terrible, forgotten Square game from back in the day. But do not buy a console until it's been out for a year or two, until like the price drops and the first good like AAA games start coming out.
Yep.
So if you bought a PS3 in 2006, you played yourself too. I waited until like 2010 to buy mine, and I feel like that was the right time. And I'm still And yes, I'm still fucking patting myself on the back for my genius timing of purchasing a PS3. Yes, I am still proud of that moment.
Just let me know when you're ready to...
Let that one go? Oh, it'll be a while. Don't hold your fucking breath.
No, I was going to say, just let me know when you're ready to buy me my PS5 for my Genshin
Impact. It's true. Do any of you guys play Genshin Impact? And if so... How much money have you spent on it? That's what I want to know. Be honest. This is a safe space. I won't tell anybody how much you spent, but I want to know. Do you guys have shawarma or doner kebabs? Yes, we have both. Probably not as much if you're like German or something. Probably not as much as I understand that they have them in Germany or other places. But yes, we have both of those things. And shawarmas, I don't know, kebabs I'm okay, but... Shawarma, I love. What do you think?
I like shawarma. There's a doner kebab place in South Lake Union.
And it's like $18 for one?
Well, no. Well, I actually never been there before, but I remember one of the security guards going there and like being like, oh, you can actually get a pretty good deal for these. So I actually think it was very affordable. It was in the old Tommy Bahama building. But yeah, I like shawarma. Shawarma's really good. But yeah.
It's delicious.
I mean, we never have Mediterranean food.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
We always talk about...
If only just there was a way to change that.
Just choose another question. It's like the one food that like I think we both like, but we never get.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know why.
Are you vegan or were you vegan in the past? I am not vegan now, but I was vegan back in the day, back in the 90s, from like 93 or so to... I don't know, 99, I think. I was vegan, and I'm not vegan anymore, which is too bad because it's a lot easier to be vegan now than it was back then, especially if you want to be a junk food vegan. All you vegans out there, I feel like you guys like junk food more than fucking anybody else. What?
Not more than me.
No.
Not more than me.
They eat more junk food than you.
Oh, really?
You don't eat
junk food. How is that even possible? No, I actually don't eat too much junk food. I just...
Explain yourselves, vegans. Why do you guys eat so much motherfucking junk food when they're... Like, think about this.
Yeah, I thought vegans was supposed to be for vegetables.
Right. You guys don't... Vegans hate vegetables.
What? What?
Were you...
Lil Jon, what?
Okay, you were a vegan, but did you burn down your local McDonald's, poser? no, but I knew some people who did, and I will tell you this. Here's a funny story. Oreos are vegan. Well, they didn't used to be. Hydrox were vegan, but Oreos weren't. They may have changed
it,
though.
Why would you want to eat something called Hydrox?
I know, it's horrible. I only learned about it when I lived in Ohio. It's the worst name. So we went to a protest in Indiana for some fur store, and we were all vegan, but we were losers, so we didn't have cars. We couldn't drive. But a friend of ours, who was a very nice guy, who was not vegan, drove us there. And he was like, you know, whatever, just tell me when you're done, and went to just go, like, walk around. So because there was this big protest there, the cops were there and basically said, you know, you can protest on the sidewalk because that's public property. But if you set foot on the store's property at all, that's trespassing, you get arrested. And we all knew that, so we were very careful not to, you know, go off the sidewalk. But Brian didn't know that because he wasn't vegan. He didn't give a shit about the protests. So he was like, just let me know when you're done. He sat down on, like, the back steps of the store or something, and they instantly arrested him. And he was like, what? No, I'm not. Yeah, he was like, I'm not vegan. Like, I'm not. I don't know about this. I don't
know
care.
Her.
Yeah. And so out of everybody, he's the only one of us who got arrested. Damn. And he wasn't even there for the protest. And I lived in Cleveland, so he had to drive all the way back to Indianapolis to go to court and pay his fucking fine and stuff. And Brian, I'm sorry about that.
Took the fall for you guys.
That's
wow,
right.
That's
I'm sorry.
Crazy.
Typical vegans fucking things up for everybody else.
Yep, and it's always the non-vegans who are nice to the vegans.
Exactly. Oh, no. Like, we can go here if you want. I mean, I can't eat anything, but it's fine. Don't worry about me. And they're like, all right, well, we're obviously not going to go here because the vegan can't eat. No, it's fine. But it's not fine. Explain yourselves, vegans. I don't see anything. Why do you guys eat so much goddamn junk food? And think about this. Think about this. You eat your fucking fake chicken nuggets. Think about what it takes to turn a fucking soybean into a goddamn chicken nugget.
Yeah, and you guys think you're better than
all. And why would
you're eating that fucking pink meat shit.
Right, this fucking pink slime made out of soybeans formed into a fake chicken wing.
Yep.
Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
I want answers.
Mm-hmm.
No answers. There are no answers in the chat.
Then you guys have the
justice for Brian.
And then you guys have the audacity to be passive aggressive. Oh,
get up on your high horse, you junk food vegans.
Mm-mm. Not today.
The amount of waste and emissions from a factory? Exactly.
Not today.
Ted Nugent was right. He's wrong about almost everything. He's a horrible asshole, and I do not endorse him as a human. But sometimes he is right. He's right about that. He plays hollow body guitars, though. That's a problem. Not okay.
Yeah, that's the sign of a person you can't trust.
Exactly. I know you have some thoughts on this.
What?
Y'all get into any niche hobbies during lockdown? Are we going to see a board game channel in the future?
Why do I have something to say about this?
Well, remember the board game?
What board game?
The puzzle. The puzzle fad of early lockdown.
Oh, yes. That was kind of fun. Back when things were a little more simpler.
That's right.
We bought a puzzle.
Yeah, remember?
We did hop on that train. We didn't do the sourdough bread or making our own bread and the whipped coffee or some shit. But like,
right,
you
know, right.
Niche hobbies. Yeah, I think, we pretty much kept it moving when it came to lockdown. But we did get a puzzle, which... That, looking back, I mean, even then, like, I was kind of like, why are we, like, hoarding toilet paper?
It's not like there's
and, like,
a
buying
blackout.
Flashlights and stuff. Yeah, exactly. And buying, like, water. Like, no, like, what? Like, it's not like our electric... Well, I guess we didn't know how this would impact, like, the facilities and utilities, but
flashlights, still, yeah. It's not like it's a storm.
Yeah, right. I think that was a little extreme. In puzzles, it's like we're not going back to the 1800s. I mean, might as well, but yeah no. What was the... Oh, we got a puzzle of the dogs playing poker.
Yeah. But remember this? Remember when everyone was into baking? You reminded me of this. Remember when people were into baking and there was
that lady with the medium post.
Yes. There was everybody.
Stop buying my organic wheat. or whatever the organic flour, because so, I need it for my bread. Fuck you and your bread, bitch.
There was some like white Subaru driving lady who wrote this Medium post saying,
Karen.
Yeah, exactly. Her name was actually Karen. Who wrote this Medium post basically saying, telling everyone, like, stop buying all the organic flour. And people were like, why? And she's like, because I want it. Like, she had no, just, she was just like, I like baking and I can't buy it because everyone else is. So you should stop buying it so I can. And she got clowned, you know, thousands of shares and comments of this and deleted all her social media and stuff.
Oh,
and
she got ran off the internet.
Karen, I hope that was a learning moment for you. This may have been the specific moment where you learned that the entire fucking universe does not revolve around your ass. And I hope that was a learning moment for you, Karen.
Mm-hmm. Girl, bye. Karen.
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 Yeah. Does Finn's mom still yodel in the shower? No, because she's dead. But this is in reference to a song that the band Spaz wrote about her when I was like 17 or something like that. They have a song called Finn's Mom Yodeling in the Bathtub. And one of the lines is, what's that sound? A scalded hound? Dogs being, was it puppies being slaughtered by the pound? No, it's an 8-inch flexi of Finn's mom's faves. Yodeled in the bathtub while she bathes. And I was like, look, mom, they wrote a song about you. And she's like, I would never kill a dog. Why would they write that? I would never do that.
I'm like, mom, it's art.
Yeah, she's like, well, I don't get it. Which is, by the way, I should mention, without airing too much of her dirty laundry, my mom is not a fucking square. I'm making it sound like she's some, you know, clueless boomer mom or something. Anybody watching this, I would bet a lot of money that she has done more foul, dirty, wild shit than probably all of you combined.
She's a badass.
Yes. So she is not a square. She just didn't understand Spaz. Finn's mom doesn't understand hardcore. But definitely not
do
a square.
Do any moms understand?
I'm the cool mom. I understand hardcore. How do you guys feel about it? Is there anybody who says hardcore, or is it always hardcore? Like, is it valid? Yeah. Is it valid
hardcore.
To
hardcore?
Is it valid?
Hardcore.
Yeah. Hardcore, like TV or TV.
What?
Where did Netflix go wrong? Well, I don't think Netflix really did go wrong. Really, I mean, they have a lot of trash content, but
yeah,
you know, so does everything. We've been watching Selling Sunset. Let me tell you, a lot of these like popular Netflix shows are better than you think.
Yeah, I think that solves the problem that I think you were talking about, which is that some of their original content can be a little bit iffy. But if you just watch the trending stuff, because I do notice that a lot of the trending stuff is like either the good originals or like the, you know, their production or whatever. But you just look at the whatever is trending and that basically eliminates like 100%, like 99% of the trash. Right?
Like Bridgerton was great.
Yeah. I watched it because Kim Kardashian watches it and she likes it. She says that she's watching it for the fourth time now.
I watched it because Dee Murthy said it was good.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter what he says. Yeah, so she was like raving about it. So, And you know what? What happened is I started watching it in the gym because I didn't know whether you would want to watch it. And I got like a little into it and I was like, I cannot understand a fucking word of what these people are saying. And I have to like pause every like 5 seconds to be like, okay, what did they just say? Like I have to like translate like word for word, like what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I think we got used to their accents and like the old speaking lingos. But even after like the second or third episode, we're like, we were like, do we drop the subtitles? We're like, nah, we're gonna keep them. They actually do help to just understand the overall plot. I think people are lying when they say that they actually understand like what they're actually saying without subtitles. How could you do that?
Old timey English people, like, you know? Speak English, damn it.
Exactly.
That's what I
don't
say.
Know what language you're speaking, but I speak English, bro.
That's right. It's not pronounced bottle water. bottle of water, not bottle water.
But it sounds like you're choking on
bottle
something.
Bottle water.
No.
I want to know your top two favorite songs from Light Skin Keisha. My favorite, I forget the name of it, was the one she did with Black Zach.
Oh, Oh, okay. I don't know.
What is your
She's
favorite?
She's a nasty little bitch.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
I don't remember that one. On Red featuring Cash Doll, and I can't remember.
Well, there's two.
Yeah, okay.
Light Skin Keisha's great. Top artist.
She's cute. I hope she's on Love and Hip Hop again.
She's funny.
I think she was a very good addition to that cast, so I hope that she still, you know, isn't too big for the Love and Hip Hop cast now. Because they stopped production, like, kind of in the middle, like, right in the middle of her season, so I don't know if they're picking back up with the same cast or not.
I feel like she's not too big for it, right? I mean, I think people know the potential of that platform now.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
All right, well, we got time for a couple more before we wrap this up.
This is so much fun, but yeah.
All right, well.
No, we should wrap. Yeah. No, we should do a few more questions.
Any advice for someone looking to go into the entertainment field, such as streaming, music, or YouTube? Well, just do it. There is no real formal requirements for getting into any kind of creative field. You just have to be good enough to do the work, and you have to know the right people who will give you the chance, help you get your foot in the door. So the best thing you can do with anything creative like that is just start doing it. If you want to make music, just start making it. If you want to start streaming, just start streaming. Like, there's nobody that needs to give you permission. There's nothing. Just start. Don't worry about gear. Start with whatever you have. If you suck at first and your gear is trash at first, that's okay. I mean, I know you had talked about doing YouTube for a long time before you ever started actually doing it.
Yeah.
What advice would you have?
I would say the same thing too. Although I had talked a lot about doing it before, I am glad that I started doing it when I started doing it, because I think YouTube specifically is different from a lot of the other categories, because I think YouTube does require a little more, I don't know, just like a point of view, and creating content like a long form video is a little harder, I think, in some ways, different from, you know, music and stuff like that. And streaming and stuff. But, I mean, I started out, my early videos are on my iPhone, so I tried not to let the limitations of gear do that. But what I would also add on to your point, too, to just doing it, you know, Nike style, is that I feel like nowadays, a lot of these platforms have algorithms for discovery, mm-hmm. which makes it even easier now to just do it. And not worry about gear or someone else putting you on or, like, right. whatever. If you just put stuff out, there are, you know, things in place to show your stuff to other people. And while it may be hard in the beginning, you just got to grind it out, or, you know, do all the things that he says to do to get people's attention. If the idea is that you're waiting for gear and stuff, I mean, I guess if you want to wait, then you can wait, but that's just more time that you're not putting yourself out there. For that recommendation wheel to start spinning.
So just get started. All right, here's a question for you.
Oh.
This is more for your wife, but how big was the decision for you to go full-time on YouTube? Did Finn help?
How big was the decision for you? I mean, quitting my job at Amazon, which was a career that I had for 6 years and a very stable, like, you know, money-wise and career-wise, it was a big step to do the YouTube thing full-time, just because on the one hand, I saw him do it, so I did know that it was possible, but at the same time, you just don't know until you do it. So it was a pretty big decision. However, I have always been a risk-averse person too. I try to, you know, save money and try to do things that are risk-averse, in that I consider this move to be the biggest risk that I've ever taken in my life. So I have set things up in my life accordingly, to the point where I never thought I would be taking risks in my life, but I am glad that I naturally have a more risk-averse mind, so that when I do take the risk that I did, it didn't really feel like it in reality. And he does help in that. I think watching you do your stuff has really helped me, just like overall, but you do help me with the very small details that I think help me to refine what I do. For instance, I ask you, whenever I do like my thumbnails and stuff, I ask you what you think about it is, because you know about that stuff better than I do. Or when we talk about ideas, you know, we bounce ideas off of each other all the time. Just because I feel like when we talk about when we come up with our topics, it's because we're talking about
it. But I should say that she has helped me brainstorm and develop my videos for years too. So in a way,
depending on the topic, I help more or less.
Yeah. But, you know, in a way, you've been kind of helpful with those. So you've had practice for a long time by helping me.
Right. And so I kind of use you as IT sometimes. Like, if I, because I know that you just have more experience with some of these programs that I'm using. So, you know, sometimes I ask you if you happen to know an answer, like how to do such and such on Premiere or how to do such on such, such and such on Photoshop. But I think overall, it's more just like observing. Finn did help in that I observe what you do and I kind of learn from osmosis in that way. And, you know, you give good pointers like, oh, you should do X, Y, Z. I would have never thought to like set up my custom URL like right away when I did, like right when I hit like the 250 subscriber or whatever thing. I did it right away. Whereas I would have never, like, I wouldn't have guessed. Or you knew the metrics to get monetized. They do send you emails and stuff like that once you get to that point. But because I already had the metric in mind when I first started, I knew what to march towards as opposed to marching towards something, not getting the immediate feedback and then being like, oh, I'm getting monetized. Okay. No, I knew exactly when and I knew exactly what to do to get to that point. So yeah, it's pretty crazy that it's been a month now. And I hope it continues.
So if you haven't, follow her, subscribe to her channel.
Lynch7x.
Yep.
Linh7x.
I will tag you in the comments here.
Thank you, sweetheart.
So everybody who's watching now, go follow her. If you don't.
Thank you, sweetheart.
And thank you very much for watching and hanging out. I'm going to start doing Twitch very soon. Just kind of waiting on some shit behind the scenes that I can't talk about. But I'm going to start doing that soon. So if you like live streams, we'll do them together.
I'll
so,
do it to you.
So. Yeah. So if you like this stuff, then stay tuned for when we start doing Twitch. And thank you. And we'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.